Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. السلام عليكم everyone. This is Martha Naila Abdullah and I am smiling from ear to ear. And perhaps because as I seek refuge with Allah and I hear myself say it, it means so much to me because I'm understanding things more. you don't know what you don't know until you know what something different or additional, and you find out, wow, I didn't know that and that, and it makes you feel good. And so you can't put it on the level of age, but you certainly can put it somewhere in the bracket of understanding. And so praise be to Almighty God for this moment for me. Am I being selfish on that? Perhaps I am. But greetings of peace to you as we do seek refuge with Allah from the shaitan, the rejected enemy of mankind. And we acknowledge that Allah is the one God and that there are absolutely no partners with Allah. And Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, is a servant and messenger of Allah. I want to read again, greetings of peace, and I guess Juma will be going out, and Yom HaSabbat, the seventh day, will be coming in. But right now it's still Juma. So Juma Mubarak to you. And we're going to go to Surah 72, everyone. Surah 72. And do you know what that surah is? For those who may not know, it is the jinn. And this is not numerology or anything like that, but just knowing the seven and then the two and adding it together is nine, a new birth. So let's see what is said here. This is called the jinn. And I'm looking here to see, hold one moment, to see if I'm at a particular site on, you know, when I want to have Yusuf Ali's rendition or relation. I have someone's here, but I don't know who that is. All right. Let's see here. Okay. And a little from Suratul Yusuf as well. MashaAllah. God willing, God be pleased, we'll be able to share a little from Surah Yusuf. And let's go to the 72nd. Let's see if we can get it here on Yusuf Ali. And if you have the actual Quran, everyone, you can follow, or if you're on your computer, laptop, either way, whatever device you have, you can follow along. In a given time, everyone, and let's just say, well, we're 7 minutes into the presentation tonight, but if you have a question or comment you'd like to share, please feel free to press 1 and we'll open your mic and bring you into the conversation. Now, tonight's subject matter, we're going back to the etiquette, hospitality being the etiquette of humanity. And within that, we're going to be discussing, continuing to discuss friendship. And, you know, I wasn't aware what it meant when we say, oh, we're friends with no strings attached. We're going to discuss that, how sometimes we find ourselves in a conversation and we don't, and I'm saying it just like Southern, all right? We don't bit more know what we're talking about, all right? Please forgive me, but we don't bit more know. I know I'm using those two negatives, right? What we're talking about or what's being talked about. When we say friends with no strings attached, we think we're saying something that's hip or we find ourselves in the hip part of society. But after listening to Imam Wilmore Siddiqui this morning and his speaking about culture, and how culture is, it's the grooming of our familiarity with one another. And so I know for African Americans, we are groomed with the familiarity culture by whoever frequents our home. They become family. And so we let our, and I don't consider it letting your guard down, but it began that if someone is adopted into your family, there are certain guidelines that you adhere to, and you don't detour from those guidelines. All right, so let me put in here Surah 72 because it's taking a little too long to scan one. Okay. All right. And I know, perhaps everyone who's been hearing me speak about the jinn, the spirits, right? And because, too, the mental health that we're speaking about, clearing mental health and the human being going through the mental health, I don't want to call it adapting to mental illness, but we're looking at the health of everyone and we're asking the question about our mental wellness. And I recently took a course on mental health, and I tell you, it's It's amazing. That's all I can say about it. It's amazing. Okay, I'm still looking for Yusuf Ali. Here it is. Okay. And as always, we seek refuge with Allah, and we will be reading the Arabiya. If you're there, please just hang with me here. Inshallah. Some call it the jinn race. But I don't know your thinking on the jinn from days gone by and how you referred to the jinn or how you thought of it. I know I had the basic thinking on the jinn. I truly just saw I saw it as a spirit, but I didn't see it in connection with us. And I don't know, coming out of the Baptist, whether the spirits float around in the air. You know, that's how they show it on television. You know, the spirits are flying around. The not clearly seen like the gargoyles, but the jinn are flying around seeing who they can rest upon. All right. So this is, I don't have Yusuf Ali, but I won't waste time with trying to find it. Of course, I'll find it when we're off. Okay. So this is going to be Sahih International, I believe. Yes. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. I pray you can hear me, okay? Ayat 1. Qul uhiya illa annahu istama'a nafaru. Nafarum min al-jin faqalu inna sama'na Qur'anan ajaba. Seeking refuge with Allah from the shaitan, the rejected enemy of mankind, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Say, in parenthesis, O Muhammad, it has been revealed to me that a group of the jinn listened and said, indeed, we have heard an amazing Quran. Pause. Now, Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking him to say what the jinn have said. They have heard, so they have the listening capability. All right, continuing on, ayat 2.
وَأَنَّهُ تَعَالَى جَدُّ رَبِّنَا مَا اتَّخَذَ صَاحِبَةً وَلَا وَلَدًا.
Exalted is the nobleness of our Lord. He has not taken a wife or a son. Let that rest. It says, and it teaches.
Ta'ala,
yeah, teaches. And then, so the jinn not only listens, but it teaches. Then we go.
Insu wal jinnu ala Allahi kadiba.
And we had thought that mankind and the jinn would never speak about Allah a lie. And we had thought that mankind and the jinn would never speak about Allah a lie. And kadaba is definitely lie, and it does show that. And this sonana is like it comes, like you see something clearer or better. Takul insu wal jinnu. Yes, mankind and the jinn. about Allah. And who can reject? SubhanAllah. وَأَنَّهُ كَانَ رِجَالٌ مِنَ الْإِنْسَانِ سُبْحَانَهُ مِنَ الْإِنْسِ يَعُوذُونَ بِرِجَالٍ مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَزَدُوهُمْ رَهَفًا سُبْحَانَهُ يَعُوذُونَ بِالرِّجَالِ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَزَادُوهُمْ رَهَقًا صدق الله العظيم. And there were men from mankind who sought refuge in men from the jinn, so they only increased them in burden. And so we're going to end with this one. وَأَنَّهُمْ ظَنُّوا كَمَا ظَنَنْتُمْ أَلَّنْ يَبْعَثَ اللَّهُ أَحَدًا. And they had thought that ظَنَنَا, thinking, okay. And they have thought, as you thought, that Allah would never send anyone, and in parentheses, as a messenger. So we'll stop right there, everyone, because we're speaking about the jinn, and I don't want to go way out. I want to keep it close to home base. You notice it said men of the jinn, but it was what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used as the men of the jinn, as it was interpreted, men of the jinn, the word rijalin. So men. Ya'uduna rijalin, men of the men. So that takes in a lot of more discussion. Some would say rijalun is the foot soldiering, the stand with standing, walking foundation. So it lends itself to say that perhaps we take ourselves in our thinking, and we think we're thinking our this suggestion from the jinn that we are taking into account. So if you have any comments you'd like to share, please by all means do so. But here we are living. We are truly living, and we're truly striving to stay connected with the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designed us. But we're learning what that really means, right? So here we are, as we say, hospitality is etiquette of humanity. If we want to impart that, then we have to discard any suggestion that comes to us that causes us to, that disrupts our peace, causes us to get upset, causes us to get frustrated, and it definitely perhaps stems from actions that we connected ourselves to, or you know, someone, a person, or even ourselves. I could suggest something to my family member, and in making that suggestion, it is not maybe the best, and it's because I have, and I'm just going to say it straight, maybe I have an ulterior motive. Don't realize that I'm being manipulative. Don't realize that I'm causing havoc in someone else's life because of my thinking. And then when I think on it clearer, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the practices committed myself to keep myself clear thinking, then I will return to that clear thinking practice. Getting up for salat, eating the best food, the right foods. I won't say the best, but the right food for my system, getting the right kind of rest, proper rest, studying things to keep my mind active to everyday situations, paying bills, meeting new people, and just in entertaining conversations with them, but not to get off course of what my agenda is for my life. But pay close attention to who we meet, they bring. And in our conversation with them, we don't have to overanalyze, because sometimes we're just meeting people, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to pay attention to it, because they, on the other side, they're meeting us. They had not met us before. So it is a give and take. So we have to bring the best. Hospitality is the etiquette of humanity. And that leads us to how to develop a culture, how to refine our culture. However we've chosen the worst way of living, where do we begin to refine our culture? And knowing that what we read in Quran, our studying by self and studying with others, and getting a clearer understanding, and then begin to recognize when the jinn is whispering, or when the jinn wants to be playful, when the jinn wants to not be committed, right? It's not just that the jinn is whispering. It's that we know the routine. We know that times for prayer has been set. As Christians, we know we read, and maybe it says three times a day. It says about fasting. Do we commit ourselves to it? As Jewish ones, do we commit ourselves to we've read in the Torah and to the Quran? The Quran being the revelation for both Jews, Christians, and many others, all of us, all of humanity. Are we refining our way of living by the Quran, more so by our understanding, by our, what we understand? So we can only go by what we understand. Some may look and say, well, it doesn't mean that. Hello, I'm only computing what I understand. So if I'm in my home and I'm reading Quran, and I have a level of understanding, and I'm going to connect with my level of understanding, correct? Likewise with you. You're going to read Quran. You're going to go by your level of understanding, your definition of words, your imparting actions based upon your interpretation of words. Put them together, voila, you have actions. And we're all imparting those actions. And then we're communing with others, each other, and we're adapting to what we understand, and it becomes our culture. No matter how fragmented it may be, it becomes our culture, even if it's a culture of drifting over to someone else's culture. That in and of itself becomes a culture. The adaptability and the familiarity is what we're doing. We're adapting and adopting, and then it becomes familiar, and we put ownership to it, and it becomes our culture. If you have any questions or comments that you'd like to share, I'm Martha Naila Abdullah. I'm your host for tonight on Community Developmental Stages, and yes, we will be sharing some events that are going on around the country. If you have some that you'd like to share tonight, please, by all means, press one on your phone. We're going to go to a public service announcement here. But first, let me check my board and bring you in, if you so please, to join me in this conversation. We'll get more specific about friends. Yes, we said friends with no strings attached. How about that? Where did that come from? And how did it get connected with us? And so we're going to go to the public service announcement.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Munira Habil,
every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Kareem Hamid, radio station manager for American Muslim 360 Radio, inviting all hosts to the upcoming host meeting scheduled this Saturday from 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Martha Naila Abdullah, Executive Director for CWSC, the Community-Wide Shura Conference. With God's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer. We are openly acknowledging that God is one, that there are absolutely no partners with God, and that Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, is a servant and messenger of the one God. Through his example, we are able to live in this time, 450 years beyond the time of enslavement here in the United States of America. Proactively and from the mercy of the Almighty, we stand with the human family that Juneteenth is a reminder of what once was and how we can take a stand and be a contributing factor to the human family for the best of humanity, continuing to strive with the excellence that our foreparents stood with and for, many who lost their lives because they chose not to be subdued and treated inhumanely. Juneteenth, again, is as a soul arising by the mercy of the one God. And now, welcome, dear human family, to Juneteenth 2021.
America.
Assalamu alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time and 4 to 6 Central Standard Time for the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad, sharing his insights, his wisdom, and his knowledge here on America Muslim 360, utilizing the books edited by Brother Morocco, Brother Ghani, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. So we look forward to your presence as we share the insight, the logic, and the thinking of our beloved Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad here on America Muslim 360 on a myriad of subject matter. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
God's peace be upon you. This is Muhammad Sharif. As we know, everything begins with the seed. Rain International is world leader in seed nutrition and the first to market seed-based products. Our flagship product is called Soul, S-O-U-L. The main ingredient is the black cumin seed. Here are a few reasons to drink Soul. Supports a healthy immune system. Give a body the boost to stay healthy and strong. Improve indigestion. Decrease infection. Remove inflammation and other benefits. This is an opportunity to improve your health and increase your wealth. Please call or text me at 914-434-375. Please join me in supporting CWSC, the Community-Wide Shura Conference and AM 360, in remaking the world into a better place. We support the 50-year human family planning and look forward to doing business with you. Our website is raininternational.com. We are available at any time. Please call this number, 914-434-3275. Thank you.
And welcome back, dear listeners. I want to highlight Muslim Journal. I believe you probably are aware that Muslim Journals on Sunday. I'm trying to get to the time here. Muslim Journal will be have, there will be the highlights of the Dell or the Delphonics in New York. And there's you have the capability of, or you have the ability or availability, excuse me, of joining by way of Zoom, if you're already committed to being there in person. We pray that you will truly enjoy yourself. But that's a historical recognition of the Delphonics. I did have the actual journal itself, but I don't have it in my hand right now. So if anyone has that information and you want to join me in sharing about that, please, by all means, press 1 on your phone, all right? Okay. Let's see here. Every Monday here on AM 360, Cheryl Sudak and her team, Fleming Elamine and others, come on with a political input and everything that is connected with politics and more. They do bring it. So if you want to go to some of their presentations that have been archived, please go to go to CWSC.us, click on podcast, all right? And go to Mondays and click on the 5, M-A-P as in Paul, 5. And at all other times, too, please venture through for the presentations that are shared here on AM 360. All of our hosts are great, and definitely with Monday morning with William Kareem and Tuesday morning with William Kareem. First, Monday morning is he brings about the technology, and then Tuesday morning is the prophet, the day with the prophet. So he shares that information. It's very enlightening, and then coming on with Abdul Shahid with Optimal Health at 5 p.m., and Imam Abdulaziz at 7 p.m. That's on Monday, because you know what is on Sundays, right? As we just heard with Imam Kareem Hamid and Michael Hamid and Hassan Abdul Salam, as they present the contemplations of Imam Warsdeen Muhammad, Rahimallahu Lay. And we will be getting back engaged with Study Al-Islam. Right now, taking a break, and you know, all during Ramadan, you feasted on the attributes of Allah from Study Al-Islam. So there's a whole lot that is going on. So Tuesday evening, 7 p.m., with Manira Habil, before she comes on, let's see. Oh, Sunday, excuse me. Back to Sundays at 4 p.m. is Keeping It Real. That's where our dear sister, Lou Princess Aziz, has gotten to. All right, she's on Sundays. So if you're open on Sundays at 4 p.m., just before you go, come to the contemplations of Imam Warsdeen Muhammad, and please, by all means, join Lou Princess Aziz. Then, so now we can go to Tuesday morning, that's it, with William Kareem, with the Day of the Prophets, and then Tuesday afternoon is with Manira Habil. Manira Habil with Courtship and Marriage. On Wednesday morning, Naima Latif and Imam Kareem Hamid coming with the Female Solution. And every last Wednesday of the month, Imam Kareem Hamid has the conversation with just the men, what's on their mind and what they want to share. And that comes on 8 o'clock in the morning, everyone. So you can get 8 to 10 a.m. We know if you're on the Pacific Coast time, that's 5 a.m. for you. Perhaps not a good time for you. But we know that then that's Wednesday, then Wednesday afternoon is 5 to 7, and that's with our dear brother Wali Ayub Bilal. And that takes me just a moment. I'm going to share what he's sharing. Now, we're looking forward to the think tank that he's going to be sharing. Okay, Walia Yubilea. One moment here. Okay, the model community. Waleed Alassis, and this was April 19th, but I'm going to go back that far to share with you this information. Says, Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak, I pray all is well. Thank Allah, we are well also. And he wanted to put this information before many leaders, business people, and more as possible. And what he needs is for the help, because he thought he had a list of members of CWSC, but he wasn't able to find them. So we're going to be connecting to make sure he gets what he needs. He will check further, but he wants the information circulated so that all the hosts on AM360 can begin addressing to establishing this model community and what he's requesting. And it's a letter about unity. So we'll be getting more about that, sharing more with you about that. That's Imam Walid Ayub-Bilal. You hear him every Wednesday, 5 p.m. So July is his target date. Some date in July is the target month. And you'll hear more about, as we close in on that, what the date will be. I don't know about you, but there have been a lot of Janaza information being shared, and we're thankful for that. May Allah Almighty, who is the giver of life and death, as individuals are transitioning, we feel the loss because we have come to know one another. And in the back of our mind, I'm sure we have to remember that it is a cycle that we're all going to connect with. We just don't know when. And because we don't know when, we want to, you know, be connected with the earthly scenes and how they serve us, but keep in view what we need to have prepared. And that is so that everything is easy for, or not such a burden for, those who are left to handle the services for us. So we're going to eventually be talking more about Janaza, about the kit, and bring back to forefront the information that is needed for us to understand it. And I'm sure a lot of us put it on the back burner. We don't want to think about it. We don't ask our family members about it, because perhaps we get this kind of inkling from them that that's the last thing I want to discuss, right? But then there are those who are very upfront. They understand. They're not thinking about suicide or anything like that. They're just wanting to be prepared, and they want to make Hajj, and they want to share their information of their last will and testament. So, you know, those are discussions that we can have calmly, because we can make it a part of our living. All right? So press 1 if you have any questions or comments you'd like to share. And I'll continue on here. I'm rotating between events that are happening and going over into friendship. And let me share, too, we thank everyone for the contributions that were made during the month of Ramadan. We thank you for, at least we met the 5,000. We didn't get the 10,000, but we're thankful for whatever we met. And at the same time, we have acquired volunteerism. Like this morning, Patricia Nima Muhammad had her oath of office, and we look forward to Sarah Muhammad coming to take her oath of office for Eyes on Our Community. Patricia Nima Muhammad is with Volunteer Human Resource Network, which is closely the sister department for Model Community National Resource Directory. So we're moving right along, everyone. And if you have information, I know you hear the background noise. I'm going to move out of the way of it in just a moment here.
But if you have information or an intent to help, volunteer some of your services, please, by all means, contact us at 910-317-0297. All right? Okay, so let's go over to, and as I step away from the closeness of this noise here, one moment. All right. Now what we're going to do is we're going to continue the discussion on hospitality being the etiquette of humanity, and then friends without friends, what do you say, no strings attached. I'm not going to tell you what I thought. I want you to tell me what you think when you hear that. Friends with no benefits, or friends, but maybe it means the same, but I want you to press 1 if you can and share with me what your thoughts are, all right? Here we go, 914-434. Forgive me if I waited too long. I had you waiting too long. Assalamu alaikum. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir, that would come in read announcement from the Muslim Journal. I think there are 3 issues for the month.
Okay, please share that.
Okay. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Sunday, May 7th, Greg Hill's tribute to the Daryl Phonics. Muslim Journal presents pre-Mother's Day R&B concert. Muslim Journal Muslim Journal subscription drive, a time to be grateful. Support literacy for children and adults. Now, this program is hosted by Nasir Ad Hoc. That's in Newark, New Jersey. At the City Complex. No, Cityplex, 12 Newark, Sags Theater. SHAGS, Sags Theater. 360-394 Springfield Avenue, Newark, New Jersey, 07103. The doors open at 3 p.m., showtime 3:30 p.m. It's $45 for the show, and $60 if you want to see the show and picture with the group. Also have vending information at $100. Sponsored tickets. Tickets at event price. Muslim Journal concert ticket .eventbrite.com. For more info and tickets, contact Masjid Ad Hoc at 973-373-0344. I repeat that number. Masjid Ad Hoc at 973-373-0344. His greatest hits, Ready or Not, La La Means I Love You, Hey Love and More. Check them out on YouTube. Has pictures of the 3 brothers that be doing this concert. Okay. Yeah, that's it.
Ah, thank you to a lot.
You're welcome.
I remember. So funny. Yes. Praise to Allah. Thank you, Muhammad. And mention the prices again. Please.
Yes, the tickets are, what is that price? The tickets again. And it says, $45 for the show and $50 if you want to see the show and take a picture with the group.
Okay. And then I guess everyone, $5 more, you can take a picture, right?
That's only $5 more. You take a picture with the group. So I guess everybody said, yeah, go $5 more and take a picture with the group.
Mm-hmm. How historic is,
are the Delphonics. They came out during the same time with the Stylistics, right?
Well, around that same time, yeah, that's right.
And we're speaking about culture and how, you know, how we adapted to the music at that time, and we adapted to, you know, the gathering at different stations, whether I say stations, you know, at, whether it was under a tree or whether it was in front of someone's home. I don't know if you all did it there, but we did it in the South. You know, sitting at a, put a table up in front of somebody's home. I mean, they it'd be their choice to do that, and others would come. And we'd congregate there and playing cards and just having a welcoming time. But it was a cultural outlet for us all. So praise be to Allah.
Right. Praise be to
so
Allah.
You have any comments, Muhammad? You have any comments now on the other part of my question?
What was the other part, Martha?
The other part was friends. What does that mean to you? If you probably already know, I didn't know, but friends without strings attached.
How about that? Friends without strings attached. Your friend is someone you can call on in a time of need. Not just a
exactly.
time of need. That's how you call on a friend at any time, on any subject.
Anytime.
A friend is someone you talk to about almost anything, except the very, very, very personal thing, but otherwise you talk to a friend about everything, you know. When you got nobody else to talk to, when you they look like everything's going tossy church. What's that? Tossy turkey? Up and down, heels and valleys. Now that's the time how can I hold on this thing? And you can, now you call your friend. And they'll give you
call
something.
Call your friend.
That's right. Get through that period. That's right. Thank you.
Yes. And they'll accept it because they're not judgmental on what you're sharing. They know you just need an outlet.
That's right.
But I was reading about friends, no strings attached, and I said, whoa, I'm sure we didn't mean that. And the that is this. Let me share. The that is this. It says, what is in the air, I guess, out there, no strings attached. They say, what is the difference between friends with benefits and no strings attached? Well, no strings attached, it says the relationship is purely casual. Well, that's okay. Casual, you're not holding anything over the head of a friend. I mean, they're friends. But now it goes, you're saying that, but the connotation or the, it goes into the area of dating. So we have to be careful of how we, you know, when we're saying friends, we really mean quality. I don't know if we need to put quality with that. Quality friends.
Oh, yes. Good quality.
Yeah, because this, what I'm reading, I'm going, I had no clue. I wasn't referring to that when I said what no strings attached really means. And it says what no strings attached really means, and it is right for you, it says, the world of, I'm reading from an article, the pros, like the pros and cons, pros of a no strings attached relationship and the cons of a no strings attached relationship. And it says, is this relationship right for you? Well, everything is, we head it out by saying the Quran, and then our understanding of it. So now I'm reading. The world of modern dating is complicated. For example, what's the difference between hanging out and hooking up, the no strings attached relationship? What does that mean? In order to understand this type of casual connection and to see if it's the right choice for you, you should know exactly what this kind of relationship entails. we turned to relationship experts to help us unravel the ins and outs of a no-strings-attached relationship and break down its pros and cons. So to define it, it says the definition of no-strings-attached relationship is one in which there are no special conditions or restrictions for emotional or physical fidelity or support. Fundamentally attached relationship is one in which two people carry on a purely physical connection with one another. And then there's no emotional connection between them. In other words, a no-string attached relationship implies that you're sexually intimate, but that's as far as your relationship goes, and you're not committed to each other in any way. I had no clue. I'm 71, but I had no clue that that's what that meant. I was on the end of thinking that it's just purely and you're just, you know, you're talking. You may have some emotions, but you're not going to cross that line. You know what I mean?
Right, you know.
Alhamdulillah. Any comments?
Alhamdulillah. Yeah, that's good. You know, it's always good to look up definitions of anything you get, you're in doubtful that you can't explain exactly to someone. You know, go to the dictionary, go to Google, go and look it up. And like you said, you did the wise thing. You went and check it out. And said, wow, I didn't know that.
Right, because if your child or your grandchildren came to you and said, "Oh, we're just friends with no strings attached," and you think, "Oh, okay, they're not committing themselves to anything; they're just being friends." Duh. Mm-hmm. Well, we have stay right there, Muhammad. We have another Muhammad on from Georgia. Assalamu alaikum, Muhammad. 27. I know you're probably beating your phone up trying to get to the screen, right? If it's like
yeah, I'm trying to knock that. I'm trying to knock that mute off of it. Yes, ma'am. You know that.
I know the feeling.
May Allah peace and blessings both of y'all there, you and Brother Muhammad. And
alhamdulillah.
Yeah, I was thankful to Allah that He let me be a witness of the wonderful, wonderful purity that He has given you. And we pray Allah that we will hurry up and establish an environment called halal so that our women and our children and their innocence of understanding that believers are the friends of one another, you know, and you don't have to learn this filthy language to by Shaitan. He said, I only called them to come away from the purity that you have given them, you know. And then, yeah, it's shocking to see that the human being could have those type of inhuman relationships with one another on their total creation. Their intellect is perverted. Their emotions are perverted. Their physical reproductive organs are perverted. They lose their total relationship with them because they don't understand what a believer is. And they know that Shaitan is using the bait, knowing that all human beings are believers in their Creator, knowingly or unknowingly. So he uses that belief in the natural makeup of the human being to guide them down the road of not knowing what Allah says in the Quran as far as identifying what is a believer. We still haven't yet the believer. That's why we haven't come together as one believing community in one God, the Quran in the life of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because we still are being distracted in the definition of disbeliever, because we're learning so many honorable things that we are taught in the Quran that Shaitan is using against us by respecting a believer. We have believers who smoke. We have believers in God who are homosexuals. We have believers in God who are murderers. And we will be wrong if we deny the belief, but we got to understand the belief that Allah is talking about in the Quran. The believer that we're talking about and the friends that we're talking about. are made of what we know in this reality now. They have a halal relationship with one another. The only type of relationship permits in the Quran and the life example of Prophet Muhammad. And we know they cover everything from marriage, wanting for each other, what for yourself, what you want for yourself. I mean, want for others, what you want for yourself. So when we turn back around to the right Qibla and restudy the Quran without trying to bring any of the beliefs of the disbelievers in one God, and not let their natural human inclination called belief make us go and deviate. Because one of the things that Allah said is worse than anything, and everybody got so far away from this word, is perversion. Satan is here to pervert us, make us other than our creation, Khalifa, and prove that he shouldn't have to bow down to us, etc. And he has the tools. He has the fire. He is made from fire. This is what he says. But that's my job, is to break things down to whatever Allah tell me to do so. And since I have a free will, I've been experimenting, thinking that how to break down as many things. So I'll break this human being down with this fire. I'll fan the flame of their belief and make them and give them artificial relationship with each other, loyalty, and all like that. And we're going through all that. Because remember, this is all geared to test the believer in Allah. It's not to test anybody else. It's here to test us. And we are here to prove that those who follow the guidance of the Quran, the life of Prophet Muhammad, you will have the best of relationship with creation. And you will be responsible to keeping Shaitan and those who are under his influence free from hurting these things and perverting them. Look at the belief of the disbelief. They done flowers. They made flowers homosexual. They made water homosexual. They took it out of its nature. So it is also as part of this program here. I pray Allah will bless you, sister. It's not funny to learn these words. He learns these definitions of these people, of this world that we live in. That's why Allah told us, oh, you who believe, come out of this world and forbid any definition other than halal about whatever you're doing. It will pervert you. It will make you unnatural. So that's what we're trying to get at. And though all this talking, vain talk, see, vain talk is what a person look in the mirror and imagine what they are. And those imaginations that they are looking at in that mirror come from the whispers of the shaitan. He have them looking like that. What will make a woman go put on artificial hair, artificial eyelids, put putty and everything up underneath her skin to make herself look other than herself, than the whisper of the shaitan and the scheme of the shaitan. You know, so we pray Allah that as we do all this dialoguing, that we remember now, the more we get away from the Quran, the more it gets confusing. Say, our animal nature, if we keep fooling around, you know, and we'll hate ourselves for it. Because we see that we are walking away from the fire and don't know why. But Allah, with his mercy, sends the believers after even the disbelievers. But Allah says, just tell them and deliver the message to them, though. That's all I want you to do. You cannot have a fornicated, adulterated relationship with people who are under the influence of Satan. They need you to set them free with the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, that there's nothing but one God and Muhammad is his messenger. And use the best thereof of compliment. How can a person who is taught that if someone gives you an honorable greeting, you should try to give them a better one. Mm-hmm. Look at the names that people call each other. Look how people greet each other. They call each other dogs, MS. All kind of crazy stuff they have learned from this world. you know. So we have to be mindful when we explore and try to deliver this message to the people in this dunya, that we be mindful that we have to make sure that we seek the refuge of Allah at all times and remember who we are, and that we're trying to deliver this message of concern, this message of that there's no God but Allah, that the Quran is the final. Ain't no more revelations after the Quran. Ain't no more prophets. This is it. This is Adam and all the prophets and messages of Allah. May Allah be pleased with all of them. This is the full image of them, if they want to call that, in the image of Prophet Muhammad, a servant. And one thing I'd like to say before I close.
Mm-hmm.
When Imam Muhammad was talking about New Africa,
absolutely,
and his wisdom that Allah gives him, not to coerce, not to talk to our vanity, don't take advantage of our level, small mentality, he gives us parables. What is New Africa? New Africa is when Bilal, al-Islam, that was New Africa. And New Africa became a community of Prophet Muhammad and one of the strongest supporters of Allah's messenger. That's what anyone who wants to try to establish New Africa means, because our job is to get to establish the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad. And New Africa is one of the ways from our experiences of being a slave and all the stuff that we're going to do, that Bilal was the best example of how we establish what we're now trying to do in substitution of getting to the real job of establishing the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad, this model community. But he was wise enough to say, what did he do the first time he came on board? He tried to call us Bilal in from the jump street. He tried to tell us, you are a Bilal. You are people that name Bilal fit. And it will inspire you to embrace al-Islam and be the supporter of truth, freedom, justice, and equality. You will throw down your stick and say, I will no more be wrong, and take on the prayer of Ibrahim. My life and my death is all for Allah. If we're going to emulate somebody of what we are still under the influence of racism, if we're going to understand, we're going to use any kind of skin symbolism, Bilal is our example. What we're supposed to get up off our back, being a slave to everybody in the world, and only be a slave to Allah and support his message. That's the wisdom we got to get. And we ain't going to keep talking about what these people are talking about. We have to teach them the Quran and the life of Prophet Muhammad, and we have to learn it. And every day, recite the Quran. Walaikum as-salam.
Okay.
Appreciate that. Thank you much for both of y'all. And may Allah be peace with us.
Yes, Muhammad Sharif.
Oh, yes, I forgot to read something else concerning the live stream. If you can't be there in person, you can live stream for $25. Also, it says vending opportunity at $100. Gift ticket to youth and seniors. Become a sponsor. New subscribers and new Muslim Journal vendors will receive a special gift. So that reminds me, I've got to live stream.
Say that again. New subscribers will receive a special gift. Well, I don't know why that stood out to me, right? New subscribers will receive a special gift.
Yeah, new subscribers and new Muslim Journal vendors will receive a special gift. New subscribers and new Muslim Journal vendors.
And share that's in reference to Sunday at what? Does it show the time? I never saw the time.
Oh, yeah, the time is the door is open for live. The door is open at 3 o'clock p.m. This is Sunday.
Oh, that's right.
And the show time is at 3:30. The door is open at 3, and the show time is at 3:30. And on the price, you can live stream. You can live stream. You have for $25.
Okay. So we go to, does it show what you go to get the live stream?
Oh, yeah. Go to Eventbrite.com. Eventbrite.com.
And that bright is B-R-I-T-E, all right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yes, BRIT.
Mm-hmm. And then we forward slash, I guess the Muslim Journal will pop up with the Dell Phonics. This is commemorating, the Dell Phonics, everyone. And overall, it's a contribution to Muslim Journal and its support drive. So praise be to Allah. Thank you. Thank you, Muhammad Sharif. I want to comment on we're not robots, and I'm speaking of all of us, husband and wives, those who are coming up and they're learning what's the best etiquette for becoming engaging in conversation for courtship, and then taking it on to a level of understanding that, you know, the what we read in Quran. But as I was listening to the imam today in a commentary, and he was saying that our mate is this earth, is that other things in the earth. How we connect and communicate and convey with one another, to one another and with one another, of how to fulfill the natural inclination to be with a mate. And I'm being very clear, I pray, to be with a mate and to inch, and there's no guarantee on anything, but you go with the intent that you're sharing your thoughts, your history, especially if you're older. But the young ones, too, coming out of their homes, and they're expecting to experience what we say, you know, the spirituality of it all is, you know, you can jump and shout to it and look for this, the magnificence of everything while you're exploring what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed in Quran, while you're exploring what that means to you. And then how you relate to the person that is made an approach to you, or that you make to them. I'm speaking females now, the male approaching the female, but then that the female approach the male, or and the community having functions or having cultural surroundings that speaks to, that generates the expectation. Like my mother, when we were growing up, when you leave home, you're going to leave home married. That was a given. Somehow it escaped. And the marriage, it didn't say, my mother would say, too, if you start talking to a young man and he's not in the church already, you better bring him to church. And I know what she was meaning, that you would be even better yoked, better connected, if he understands what you believe and you understand what he believes, or he come over to what you believe, and you be in your human. But the overall experience is that you're qualifying yourself. It's this unspoken engagement process that you're qualifying yourself to be in each other's company, and it's not some, you know, it's not a written rule in your face, but your parents help to stimulate the conversations or the interest. If you show interest, then you were entertained in common things. If you went anywhere, you were chaperoned, and then eventually, if it wasn't meant to be, meaning that if your interest and their interest didn't connect, then it was no big deal. It just fizzled. You know, either he stopped coming around to ask for your company at different times, or, you know, or learning about you, or and vice versa. You didn't want to be entertained anymore, and it just fizzled. But now, after you've gone through that process and you're now in another age group, and you're taboo to even look in the direction. I know about all these, the Muslim engaging, connecting social that are held in other states, but when you come back to your hometown, when you're, and that's where it has to happen. It has to be happening. And it can happen distance-wise too, but the interest has to be there and the commitment has to be there. The dedication has to be there and the understanding that there may be a low ebb, E-B-B, tide of thinking, okay, this is going nowhere, let's step away. But that's not the time to step away. Then you're finding, and this is Mike talking, Martha Nilo now, because that's where you find that in your relationship after marriage, you're going to find that there are going to be times when you don't necessarily have to have a conversation, but you're just in the presence of, and you don't have to say anything. I'm sure married couples, you can speak to this, and the two of you, Muhammad, are married. You can speak to that, you know, those tides that come in sometimes when you don't have to say a word. It's just your presence. You can feel the presence and the thinking of your mate. Please share.
Yeah, you're correct.
Well,
you're correct.
Go ahead.
I would just wanted to say, when we look at the creation of our creation, we see that Allah gave Adam a mate. And that is a great sign to us to understand that this relationship that we have is based upon Allah's will, Allah's purpose, as he's educating us from the time of Adam. And he told us that this mate was not only to give you companionship and worship, it's the way that you procreate or reproduce, this continuous service to your creator. Because you have the job to do in this reality that you are now, where you're going to be. And your job is Khalifa. You're going to have to maintain this balance when the enemy of your creation, Satan, is challenging you. And will you remember? So Allah said, I'm going to give you some help. I'm going to give you a mate. And the mystical things that he put between y'all, if you remember him, you'll be successful. We are not going to get away from, but just like I'll give you an example. Taqwa is a very good, nice concept. But taqwa is something after you have made a mistake that you develop. And then you become regardful. But that's why Allah tells us is the best thinking is the thinking on me. Otherwise, remember me and all that you do, and you don't have to have. But the more mistakes you made, the more you need to develop a system of regardfulness. And share with others as a human being, go away from what Allah has prescribed to you, listening to the calling of the shaitan and of your own soul. So a marriage is health. And you have to remind your wife at all times, especially when shaitan tests us or we forget as we're growing in this development that we are, is being Allah's servant. But those of us who've already said, La ilaha illa Muhammad Sula, we need to understand that we have crossed a great barrier, following our own way, following the way of Shaitan. We only follow Allah in his messenger. And we have to have help with our mates. I remind my wife all the time, and she reminds me all the time, when we deviate and let Shaitan make us think that we run something. And we have the rights on us that only Allah has with each other. We have to remind each other, you are part of this worship together. Allah has gave me a cat. But, you know, ain't it strange how it has developed through Istihad that when a man is at home with his wife, it's permitted for him to put her beside him just only a little bit to the side. But if she don't have to get him back in black, she would line up in congregates of prayer to women in the back there for many other reasons. But she is invited to stand with him by his side in the worship to their creator, to give Allah thanks and guidance and ask for what we need to stay that way. One soul, and that our children, as they come on, the other souls come into our reality, we are to create this environment of oneness, of tawheed. And that's what we're suffering from now, right now today. We are suffering from because we are learning more about the world and with those who have gone astray, who have been led astray, et cetera, who have been forced to go astray. like Allah was telling it again in the Quran, he warns us by giving us help by saying, those of you who forget to pray together, to talk about and discuss me, my book, and my messenger, you will be lost. You will be lost.
And
now, you'll be in a state of
hustle. As-salamu alaykum. I hear you, and I'm going to ask Muhammad Sharif too, but I hear you, and as you're speaking, I'm physically, and I know I'm representing many, many women that may be in a conversation with someone, but the line of women that have gone through marriage and the partner is now no longer there in their life for whatever reason. And you, and I'm saying the community that we're speaking of or those treasurable things that you just referenced, that you're reading Quran, and I guess what you're saying is hold out, hold on, don't step forward, just wait until a mate appears at your door or appears in some kind of a way. I don't know, but I'm wanting to see the actualization of that process that Allah SWT has us to use our will to discover and explore and not tread on the borders of deceit or any other thing. But I'm saying, but there has to be some kind of activity or action-oriented process that is just in our world that we can connect with. And before you respond, let me get Muhammad Sharif, please.
Yes. Well, I guess I don't know. Maybe we just gonna have to have a wedding drive, maybe.
That it may be funny, but it may be. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's the only thing I think of right now is. It's a wedding drive. We got to do something to encourage our people to get married. Especially
the permissibility to have conversations.
That's right.
I think that's where the gray line is, that everyone is looking at others and like, oh, you shouldn't be talking to him or he shouldn't be talking to you. And all these things come up. And I think Manira was saying on Tuesday night, she's saying, well, we're working, right? And we're in these businesses and we're communicating and we're not communicating with anyone the opposite sex in an offensive way, but we're getting to know them. And I know that I'm seeing non-religious men, males, that are being more respectful when I walk around, and I'm thankful for that, but I'm not going to extend myself to, you know, get into any kind of other conversation that will lead into, you know, hey, well, let's talk marriage. No, you know, especially when you're already talking with someone. But the point is the availability of the opportunity that will be healthy. I'm not speaking of the gray areas. I'm saying healthy that will be, just like I said, my mother said, when you leave home, you're going to, you know, leave here married. So you walk with this intent. You're thinking on it. You're learning different things, how to carry on in a household, how to communicate with neighbors and other people. So that's where I am with this community developmental stage.
Again, it's very important. Like what everybody's saying all the time, but like it's like before we say things, but we don't put it in deeds and actions. It goes back to education, like we all be talking about all the time. We have to get and encourage, I'm talking about the body, have to encourage the imams, the leadership, to get back to basics.
Mm.
Get back to the five pillars, the articles of faith, the Uswa Prophet Muhammad, and give it to our children like the way Allah gave it to us, most of us, especially if you're over 60 years old. Allah taught us himself, so that we will be able to teach it straight. That's why Imam Muhammad used to always remind us all the time, Allah is raised and teaching us. Allah is going to teach y'all because y'all are the people who's going to bring back moral character, moral excellence, bring back marriage, bring back sacredness. But we done got so far away from the basics of Al-Islam that even our children, with all the blessings Allah has given, the second most important pillar of Al-Islam, prayer. Everything got to come through prayer. Fast, acceptance.
Yeah.
And if you don't pray to Allah, if you don't pray to Allah for everything that you want, you're not going to get all of it. So Shaitan going to answer your prayer.
Right. And now, one question while you're on that, because I see other communities and they're having this problem. The young girls are dressed, they're learning prayers now, but the inner soul, the inner thinking, because I think so much is put on it that it becomes mythological. It becomes impractical. It's not touching the ground. It's not, you know, putting the seed of thought into are you going to get married? And the young men, are you going to get married? When are you going to get married? What are you doing? How are you doing it? And not putting one together just because, but having the education, but the education that includes the familiarity. If you're seeing someone that's constantly around, and they're doing different things that indicate that they really believe, well, I don't have the total answer, but I know that engaging in conversation lends itself to, are you striving to become, to know more? Are you striving? Maybe you have two, people that are in, someone who's an astronomer probably wants to talk with someone who's a seamstress, doesn't want someone who's an astronomer. They don't have to have the same, so that they can benefit from each other's world. You know, praise be to Allah. Dear everyone, and I thank you for your comments on this, because it truly is friendship and hospitality being the etiquette of humanity. And I know that as I read, one went to the Prophet, presence be upon him, and they, you know, said that they wanted to get married, and if someone was there and they wanted to get married to them, well, then there was a process that took place. But I think we have put this. Yes.
If I may, for just 2 minutes, put me on the clock. But that's what you just got through saying. That's why Allah tells us, let there come a band of people to come out of this and establish your share. Imam Ahmed was teaching on it a little bit when he started telling us about shared space. Because he know we can't grasp the concept of that halal is going to be established right here in America, I believe, inshallah, by Allah's permission. It's going to be established here. And then it's going to ricochet all around the world. Right now, if every Muslim, regardless of what country he or she is in, came out of the influence and the whisper of the shaitan, come out of the Christian influence that's in the world, the number one influence in the world on how to worship God is Christianity. That mindset, that influence is in the world, whether people think it or not, because how much they think they are Muslim, that's why they wind up being a king. Because how much they think they are Muslim, they wind up being a princess. And no, all these things are not condoned in what is called Al-Islam. Allah is the only one of anything. If you want to be a king, the only king is Allah. Mm-hmm. Whatever you want to be, it's the only, when you get to the one, it's Allah. And that's why Allah said a shirk is one of the worst sins you can make. Nothing compares to what he has prescribed for what he created. Nothing. So he said, come out of there. When we come out of America, when we come out of France, when we come out of the language of whatever language you speak in that country that you live in, when you get back to the best of the Quranic era, be about those who Allah reward with that ability to teach, then we'll understand marriage in the way that Allah has prescribed it in the Quran.
Yes.
For Prophet Muhammad to establish it.
The two minutes is up.
So what it is, we don't realize we're living in a fornicated.
Muhammad.
Oh, I'm sorry.
2 minutes up.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. Appreciate that too, bro.
Alhamdulillah. Right. Well, thank you. It's amazing, and it's going to take us to continue to work it as our children are growing up and they're entering. It's no haphazard. Like you say, Shaitan is whispering. Shaitan is the enemy to us all, and there are developmental processes going on that because we, and I just say, because we, in our lack of understanding, we close the door off to relationship, true relationship building, to where we made it so obsolete till the children, I mean, it's like the hand in the cookie jar. That what you say, don't do, everybody put their hand in the cookie jar and reach for those cookies. So, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like you say, is the all-knowing, the most high. And the glorification that we give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you'll see the trees are growing. If we plant a seed, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that blesses it to come up. So the sacred bond of marriage has to be on our lips every moment, the sacredness of marriage. And between male and female, and give homage to those who are securing or procuring, you know, carrying themselves in that direction, and proactively participating, and knowing, like you said, when the jinn. This is why I guess I'm so hit on the jinn, because knowing how the jinn can also be an avenue to peace. And to that love and that affection, and you can employ it and appreciate it, and not have to be at each other's throat or be manipulative and saying certain things under your breath, or you know, taking on those attitudes, those actions or characteristics of that I don't know, I can't call it a life, but the culture that is surrounding us. So we can't look at them, anybody else. We have to look at ourselves, I guess, as you're saying. Look at ourselves, how we're connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our belief system, and impart the belief system as an everyday act. Everyday act. Get to know someone that you're intending to marry, and once you get to know one another and you're truly getting to know one another for that purpose, and you're seen in the public, not in, you know, you don't have to go and hide and do all of this or wait for someone to put an event on. You're connecting because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you this whole openness, because Allah sees everything and knows everything. Alhamdulillah. But thank you all for connecting with me tonight, and those who are listening. If you all have any comments, I'll give you 30 seconds to share any comments now. And then we'll go to without missing public service announcements, and then for the next day's presentation, Saturday's presentation.
Okay, my last thing would be go to the live stream. If you can't be there in person, yeah, for the trip to Delphonics, tomorrow go live stream. Or you can call Imam Abdul Haq and Masjid Haq. 973-373-0344. You'll give instructions how you can get ready for the live stream. You can't be there in person. So that's what I guess I'll be doing this evening or tomorrow, live stream. Assalamu alaikum.
Okay.
Thank you for this evening. Thank you, Brother Muhammad out of Georgia.
Praise be to Almighty God. Thank you, Muhammad Sharif. And now, Muhammad. From I keep forgetting which city. Forgive me. You tell me every time. Are you still with me? Let's see. Oh, someone else's hand is up.
please by all means come back. Whose hand was up, Mr. Sharif. Okay, I'm closing off the mic, Muhammad Sharif and Muhammad of Columbus, Georgia. That's it. Okay. Anyone else with their hand up, please share. Yeah, oh, they, okay. That's Muhammad. Columbus. Hi. Excuse me. Oh, 1 second. Okay. I was in my car. Thank you. All right, everyone. I'm going to play some excerpts from the memoirs of Dean Muhammad, rahimahullah alayh, and then we'll call it a night. And join us tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's for Evolution of Revolutionary Thought and Creative Purpose. And thank you. 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. And following that's with Imam Kareem Hamid. You definitely want to bring your pen and paper because the conversation, you want to remember, you want to hear what you hear and write down what you want to speak on or whatever is guiding your heart and mind. So that and whatever you're employing in your life of what you hear, God willing. All right? And then at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, is Imam DeLacy Umar Phillips with Michael Hamid and Rabbani Muhammad as they do preparing to make it in the land of plenty. And following that in the afternoon is 5 to 7 p.m. is Deepreeta Hadi. And what she brings is Al-Islam in Focus. So please plan to join us tomorrow, everyone. And whatever you have to give, make it a point to be here on AM 360 very more often if you're just here and if you're able to. Otherwise, if you're able to go to American Muslim 360 or am360.org or to cwsc.us and click on the podcast and listen to the presentations so that you can discuss or ask questions or give some answers to what you hear, all right? And as we said, May 13th, we're going to be having the medium exchange, other mediums that are presenting, and because we want to build this community life, and we know that we have to expose ourselves to others throughout this country, the United States. So praise be to Allah, we CWSC intends to do that through our AM 360, and then we will be communicating and conveying information through the Muslim Journal, on the 50-year human family strategic planning. And at the same time, you will get information on what took place in Barbados. We will continue to work on that and work on our international connection. So as we were saying, we don't want to just do things and not concentrate on the healthiness of a community. And that is where we have the male-female relations, husband, wife. And we continue on. Keep it moving, keep it moving, keep it moving. Let's see if anyone is pressing one to make any comments before I go off. Earlier today, I didn't catch someone's hand. Okay. All right, dear listeners, as I stated, I'm going to select a presentation from Imam Warisuddin Muhammad, rahimahullah alayh. And if you are of our email address, then we're going to be sending out email information. If you've already registered with the Islamic Learning Institute, praise be to Allah. But if you have not, then you want to start the beginners with studying Arabiya, or if you're already a student and you're continuing on, that's a benefit. We know we have various areas that are once teaching Arabiya, and that's a great thing. But Islamic Learning Institute is our partner here at CWSC, along with other partners, Study Al-Islam, and we're seeking more connection with Mosque Cares for those who are curious. And we're seeking connection with, well, we're already connected with Graceline Community and more partners. So praise be to Allah and thank you so, so much for what you're doing in going to the other mediums and listening to what's being generated in conversation and bringing it back here to the table of CWSC Friday Roundtable, as some of the individuals that come on and they're with other organizations, or the hosts through the week. Perhaps you're bringing that information to them
as you want to hear more. All right? But continue to read Quran. Don't lift up. Keep your foot on the pedal. Continue to dine on the Quran. And find that the amenable conversation with others make it very digestible when we discuss what we read in Quran and our interpretation. Praise be to Allah, because the Quran is for all of humanity. All right. Let me go now to that selection that I'm going to make. At that place on public service announcement.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Defrita Hadi, Director of the CWSC Model Community National Resource Directory and host of Al-Islam in Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360 Islamic Radio Station, asking you to join me Saturday evening, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, to share stimulating Islamic information and insight as we unite our spiritual and intellectual perceptions and cultivate our human existence together. Inshallah, I will hear you at the lab. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you kindly.
Assalamu alaikum. This is your brother, Kareem Hamid, inviting you to join in the study group of the lecture of Imam Waris-Uddin Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi, broadcast Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. The first hour, we shall play a lecture or address from Imam Waris-Uddin Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi, and in the second hour, we shall open up the telephone line and share with each other the various beneficial points of interest contained in the lecture or address. So join the study group of the lectures of Imam Waris-Uddin Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi on the evolution of revolutionary thought and created purpose every Saturday at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time on American Muslim 360. Let's share. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Sister Khalida Akbar Abdulaziz, Program Manager for American Muslim 360, inviting you to join us every Wednesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. for Narrative Aspiration. Believe, when we aspire, we go higher. Each and every Wednesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Fitra Mahat.
Hi, I'm Sebastian Maniscalco, and my grandfather passed away from Alzheimer's disease in 2005. The Alzheimer's Foundation of America is a national nonprofit agency that's here to help. If you or someone you love has questions about the disease, need someone to talk to, pick up the phone. Call Alzheimer's Foundation of America. Don't be embarrassed. They're here to help you. Call 866-232-8484. Don't forget.
Okay, men. This is your time. Maybe you didn't choose this, but you're here now. You're going to go out there and be an all-star caregiver. It's up to you. So what are you going to do? You're going to go grocery shopping, cook, clean, be there emotionally and physically. You got to dig deeper. Drive them to physical therapy, doctor's appointments. Don't you forget about the pharmacy. No, you won't. Because that's what caregivers do. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. This is your time to show the world, your family, and yourself that you're tougher than tough. Now go out there and be the best caregiver this world has ever seen. Caregiving is tougher than tough. Find the care guides you need at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Join us every Monday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Time for an episode of Optimal Health with your host, Abdul Shaheed, your certified symptometry health coach and doctoral student at the American School of Symptometry. It is our aim and objective every week on am360.org to enlighten health-conscious individuals on root cause therapeutics and provide them with guidance on general wellness and cell nourishment. Planet Earth is well known in symptometry as an echo chamber of illusion and a testing ground with booby traps everywhere. Come join us each week to learn about these booby traps that cause health to be denied. Connect at am360.org and 24-hour streaming at 701-719-4197. Call in to listen to speak to the host at 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. Share comments at info@cwsc.us. Tweet us at CW Shura. Email us at info@cwsc.us. Visit our parent corporation, Community Wide Shura's Conference, at cwsc.us or leave a listener comment at 910-317-0297. You are listening to AM360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
And now, everyone, we're going to go to a 1998, February 1st, Islam, Prophecy, and Today's World in Cleveland, Ohio. It says 7 minutes and 14 seconds, but I'll see if that is correct, all right? Please join me.
The following lecture, titled Islam, Prophecy, and the Present World, was recorded Sunday, February the 1st, 1998, at Masjid Bilal in Cleveland, Ohio. The lecturer is Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, and now Imam Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. We witness that God is one. We say Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. We praise God, the Lord, sustainer of all the worlds. We witness that He's one. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallahu wahdahu la sharika lahu, that He's one and there is nothing like unto Him. Laysa kamithlihi shay, for God says subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, and translated, there is nothing at all existing that is like Him, that is like God. And we witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, the last revelation from God, the last book from God, the Quran, or Quran, as the Western people call it, that one who received that book about 1400 and some years ago, that one is the prophet mentioned in the Old Testament and the New Testament, properly in the Torah, the book of the Jews, and that they received from their prophets and our prophets, and the book of what we call the Gospel of the New Testament, we call the Gospel, the Injil, as it is called in Islam, that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, prayers and peace be upon him, he's the one mentioned in both these books as the liberator, one who's coming to free the people. Free the people with the guidance of God, which would translate into revelation and education. Revelation and education. Revelation and true education. And guidance for the people. He's prophesied in the books of the Bible as one coming, as Allah says in the Quran, to take the heavy burdens off the people, to free them from the shackles that were on them, bonds of slavery, and to take the heavy burdens from their backs that were weighing them down. This is how it's given in the Quran, and I found the likeness of that Quranic statement from God in the Old Testament myself, in several places in the Old Testament. I found the likeness of that saying that is in the Quran, the saying that our prophet is the fulfillment, he's the answer to the promise of one that will come and free the people from all forms of slavery and take off their backs the heavy burdens that weigh them down, that weigh them down. So this is a relief coming to human society. And that's not only a revelation, but that's a prophecy. It's prophesied in the Bible, and we have to understand in the Quran. That's more than just a revelation, that's a prophecy. Because that wasn't answered completely in the time of Muhammad the prophet, when he was living in the peninsula of Arabia. It didn't happen for everybody, because we were not yet here in this part of the world when the prophet was working on this earth. We were not yet here in this part of the world. And there are many other people who are suffering similar kinds of circumstances that we suffer, many Spanish people and many others. We think of ourselves as being the only ones in our predicament, but there are many people in our same predicament. I'm speaking of those who feel are still restricted. You can't live the life that you want to live, the decent, good life that you want to live. You feel you're blocked. You feel you're handicapped. Or you feel that you just don't have the opportunity. There are many others just like you around the world now, not just in America. Many people like us who are suffering in this country without answer for ourselves. There are people all around the world in the same situation, and Muhammad the Prophet is their leader. They just haven't met him yet. When they meet him, they will know that he is their leader, and he can lead them out of the miseries that they are in. If they will just follow him as God directed him or presented him to us in the Quran and in his life that he lived on this earth among his friends, his companions, his family members, and the people at large. Praise be to Allah. The topic that we have chosen today is Islam, prophecy, and the world. Islam, prophecy, and the present world. Now, I'm not just seeing prophecy in the context of Islam as we know Islam. We know Islam from Quran and from Muhammad the Prophet. Prayers and peace be on him. But if we really understand what God is saying to us in the Quran and in the teachings of Muhammad the Prophet, then we must understand Islam in the life history of humankind or in the life history of man on this earth. Because we are told by God in the Quran, highly glorified as God, that it is God that spoke to Muhammad, the one who created Adam, made Adam, and started life out. So that means Islam then must be the religion of Adam and all people who followed Adam, all the human generations that came after Adam. Islam was the religion of those people, whether they knew it or not. It was their religion. And their prophets didn't come with any religion different from the religion that God gave Muhammad. Their prophets came with the same religion, Islam. And Islam begins with the very name. Islam begins with the name. When we understand the name, that's where Islam begins. And the name Islam means, according to learned authorities, not just me, but I agree with them, I said it now, and I consider myself also a learned authority. I do. I don't brag about it, but I have to admit that I'm now a learned authority. I've studied the same materials they studied, the same history they studied, and I came to the same conclusion after previously agreeing with them. Before I came to my own conclusion independently, I had already agreed with them. I followed them because what they said was good and sound rational and sound straight to me. And they said Islam means, firstly it means that you yield, you give up your own mind and your own plan for yourself. You give it up to God, and you accept that your will be submitted to God. Your will is given to God, to serve God. Submitted to God means you give it for God's service, whatever service God wants for it. So that's the first meaning of Islam, is to give up what we got in our mind for ourselves and our own ideas of how we should plan our life, to give that up and say, God, I can't do it by myself. I can't do it. I don't have the power or the knowledge to do it. You have the knowledge. You created me. You show me. Tell me, God, how am I to live my life? How am I to pursue my goals or my aims in this life? So because of the human soul crying out to God for that kind of guidance, God responded to them. And God responded to them and gave them guidance from the very beginning. He created the first man, the first human being, with the natural inclination to do that without guidance. And it was the Satan who deceived them, the Shaitan, the Satan, the devil, who deceived them and had them confused. So they started to do things that didn't reflect that they were giving themselves entirely to God, to his, their will to God. And as the Quran says, the man realized his wrong, and he turned to Allah, turned to God Almighty, and repented after meeting a word from God. So he met with a word from God, and he turned to God, and he repented, and he became straight on the path, on the right way again, you see? So this is the history. So the first meaning of Islam is to turn your life over to Allah. That's what it means, simply. To don't try to carry it by yourself, and don't take charge of it without Allah's help. Don't make decisions about it without God's approval. To put your life in Allah's hand. Now, isn't that the true beginning of religion for every sincere person, whether he calls himself Christian or Jew or whatever? That's the true beginning of religion. You say to yourself, this life is too much for me. I want God's help. That's the first step of Islam. To yield it up to God. Say, God, you take over for me. I can't manage this by myself. And the next step then, after you yield the will to God, the next step is to then seek to practice or seek to live as God wants you to live. Want to please God with all your life, with your whole life. Want to please God. That's the Muslim. One who yields his will to God, and he wants to please God. He wants to give his life to God in submission, and he wants to give his life to God in service. In submission and in service. He wants what he does, his works, his everything, to be acceptable by God. And we have this in, who's the first Muslim? The first Muslim would be the first man. But Muslim is in two perceptions. Muslim, we have the understanding of Muslim in two perceptions. That means we have two ways of looking at what a Muslim is. Two ways of looking at what a Muslim is. First way of looking at a Muslim is the way that we know now after Muhammad the Prophet. And that is, a Muslim is one who accepts Muhammad as the prophet and messenger of God and follows the religion as Muhammad demonstrated it. That is the Quran and his sunnah, his life, the prophet's life, his own life, tradition or practices. That's the popular definition and most proper definition of what a Muslim is. Correct? One who believes in one God and believe that Muhammad is the last prophet and messenger of servant of that God, and that he received the Quran from that God as guidance for the world, for all people, for the believers in all people. That's a Muslim. But in the guidance, in the Quran, Allah says that this is the religion of Abraham, Prophet Abraham. Prophet Abraham, called Ibrahim in Quranic Arabic language. That this religion is the religion, this way of ours is the way of Ibrahim. And Allah says of him, not directly, but it's understood by the scholars that Allah is referring to Prophet Abraham. And when he says that, the saying in the Quran, and I am the first of the Muslims. and I am the first of the Muslims. He's the father of a new generation of people on this earth, nations, father of nations, in the Christian language. In our language, he's the leader, he's the imam of the nations. God made him the imam of the nations, of the generations, the new generations on this earth. The imam of the nation, Ibrahim, Prophet Ibrahim. And our prophet came to fulfill what God promised Abraham, or Ibrahim. So he comes with the religion of Abraham, Ibrahim, our father Ibrahim. And he comes also with the order, with the order for our community life that God promised Abraham. Abraham never lived to see it, but he was promised. It was promised to him. And Muhammad comes to fulfill it. It's fulfilled in Muhammad. The community life that God wanted for us and promised to Abraham, that his children, or his seed, his children, not in the biological sense, but more importantly, in the sense that they follow him in the spirit. They follow him in the spirit. yes. So that's the most popular definition of Muslim. But we know that Muhammad the prophet said, prayers and peace be upon him, that everyone is born a Muslim. This is what Muhammad said. In Bukhari and Muslim, you find this is the most authentic hadith, the most authentic reports of what he said. You will find it there. He said, everyone is born a Muslim. And it is the circumstances that that person is put in that makes them a Christian or a Jew or a Buddhist or something else or a monk or something else. It's what the circumstances they are put in that makes them different. So what is the prophet saying? He's saying that we are Muslims by virtue of our creation itself. We are made Muslims by God. And the baby comes here a Muslim. And it's the world that makes the baby different. That's what we're saying. That's what we're hearing from the prophet. Now, there are many places in the Quran I can give you evidences of this. Not the prophet wasn't saying something that wasn't in the Quran. He was speaking from Quran also. In fact, everything he said was either directly from the word of God as revealed in the Quran, or either it had its support in the Quran. The prophet didn't say or do anything that didn't have its support in the Quran. And that's again in fulfillment of prophecy, so that one will come and he will say nothing of himself, but he will only speak what God has given him. See? Yes. His life will not be the life of his life of his own, but his life will be the life that God guided him to or intended for him as a model for the other people. See, this is Muhammad the prophet, and it had been coming for a long time. Now, so much for the name Muslim. Now, why have I talked about how Muslim is to be understood? It's to be understood in the history, in the context of Islamic history, and then it's to be understood in the context of revelation, beginning with the first man, Adam himself, and how the prophet reported to. Really, what is he pointing to when he's pointing to that life that he says all of us have until the world takes it away from us? He's pointing to really our Adamic nature, isn't he? Adam. He's pointing to the Adam that's still in us. God created a human being, and God created that human being a Muslim. And that human being is still with us in us. And because after all, if we are children of that one, whatever was in that one is still in us. That one is living, surviving through us. Not really gone. How can he be gone if we're his children? His life was given to us. Before we died, he imparted his life to us. And we are now his children, meaning we have inherited his biological life. But more importantly, we should be inheriting his spiritual life. And his spiritual life is a Muslim. Praise be to Allah. Now, I want to connect this now with the topic, prophecy. Prophecy. It is my understanding, I want to say perception, but sometimes these words kind of get past some of you all. It is my understanding that just as God put into the person he created, that was Adam, as a male and female, I said person, that he created. I should have said soul that he created. Just as God put into the soul that he created before it was multiplied into people, many people, Muslim nature,
Muslim disposition, Muslim inclinations, Muslim aspiration, or Muslim urges, just as he put that in the soul that he created, and that soul became male and female and produced many descendants. So have God designed the whole life of the world. And he has put in the life of the world something from himself. That's the not only the human world, but also the non-human, the inhuman, the non-human world. He put something in the human world of himself, and he put something in the non-human world of himself. Animals, plants, the non-living matter, inanimate matter. He put in all of that something from himself. That's what the big prophecy is. There's prophecy small and prophecy big. Small prophecy deals with family problems and tribal issues and things like that. The big prophecy deals with the will of God in his creation and how the will of God in his creation is going to determine finally the outcome for everything. It's a prophecy. Prophecy is not guesswork. Prophecy is either direction from God, which is not guesswork, but the truth that will prevail. Or prophecy is a statement that is based upon a strong foundation, a strong rationale that the guided ones come to after they have studied God's ways, God's revelation, and God's ways. So this is the big prophecy. The big prophecy is what's going to happen to humankind. What's going to happen to the environment that humankind has to be supported by, that you have to live on and live with and progress upon. What's going to happen to that? It already has been told by God in Scripture. Even before Quran. Quran is not 1,500 years old yet. Even before Quran, it was told a long time ago. The Quran brought it all together and made it even plainer, made it clearer and plainer. What's going to happen? When we look at Scripture and try to see this major movement of the will of God affecting how life, human life, is going to behave eventually? Well, all the time, really, but particularly in the end. And how the environment is going to be shaped. The big prophecy. Again, the big prophecy. And how the environment is going to be shaped. The beginning of the world, as told by God, I have to adjust my belt. It's the age. The age makes the belt line bigger and the hip line smaller. So the belly pushes the belt off of the hips. I'm fighting that. Yes, back to the subject. Yes. So now, the environment that God shows to us in the beginning is an environment that is described as a paradise. He put man in paradise. He created the man and put him in paradise. The Quran calls paradise the garden. The most common name for the paradise in the Quran is the garden. Although in the Quran, in the book of God, the last revelation of God, the word paradise is used too, but I think only one time, maybe one or two times. Firdaus is paradise in the Quranic Arabic, Firdaus. But Jannah is the most common term. Jannah means the garden. So he created the man and he put him in the paradise. And there he had no troubles. until the Satan came into his life and deceived him out of the good form that God had put him and his wife in, his mate in. This is the Quran. That Satan came and deceived them out of the clothes, the clothing that God had created them in. And what is the clothing? You think it's a fig leaf? Or maybe polyester? No. The clothing that God put the man in was his flesh. His flesh. How do we know? And says God says in the Quran to us, and he formed the bones, and then he clothed the bones with flesh. So we know that the clothing that God put him in was his flesh. And that means his flesh was Muslim. His flesh was not an enemy of his. His flesh was his friend until the Satan took him out of those clothes and put him in some other thing, some thinking, a thinking that led his nature, his body wrong. See? This is how we should understand that. So God, in the beginning, what he had for us as an environment to live in was paradise. And we were in good condition too. We were Muslims in the right state, in the right nature, until the Satan took us out of that. Now, that begins the path of evil, corruption, misery, suffering, death. And the death is not the physical death. All of us die physically. That's no shame. The death is the death of sin. This is scripture. The death is the death of sin. The death of wrongdoing. The death we die because we go against the right way. So it's the death that we suffer because of our sins. When we give up righteousness for a life of sin, the spirit in us of the Muslim is dead, gone. It's dead. And the sensitivities of a Muslim, dead. The spirit that leads you is dead. And the life that makes you conscious is dead. Sin has killed that for you. When the Prophet, peace and peace be upon him, said, everyone is a Muslim, born a Muslim. And it is the circumstances that the child is put into that makes it other than a Muslim. Then the Prophet is giving us some light that we can use to really see and understand our own human life and how it is affected by outside circumstances. Even we are able to understand our internal condition, that if something is wrong here, it has affected me from the outside, but it has affected me also internally. So I have to see the effect of the outside on me inside. How has the world affected my thinking? How has the world affected my feelings? How has the world affected my opinions? The world shapes us all over again. And we'll find ourselves arguing against something that's for our own good. And we won't know that we are arguing at this point from a position that the world has created for us. It ain't ours. I had so many people arguing with me over something. And I have to stop sometime and just remind them. I said, look, you think you're defending your point. You ain't defending your point. I said, you never have had the freedom to come to that point. Right? I won't tell you what it was because I don't want to bother anybody that's sitting here comfortably on the floor right now. I might disturb you. But they were arguing a point, arguing a point. And the point they were arguing, I know that they never came to that point on their own. They never came to that kind of thinking on their own. They were given that thinking from the circumstances they were in as a human being. And they honor it as though it's theirs. So, you know, you have a right to defend what's yours to the death. You do. You have a right to defend what's yours to the death. But know what is yours and what is not yours. You're defending somebody else. I've seen two people arguing, and one of them said, oh, hell, man, this is useless. That ain't even my interest anyway. After suffering so much in the argument, he finally realized that he was arguing somebody else's point. It wasn't even his. But he heard it and he took it and he's fighting for it. Many times we be fighting for Satan's point and don't know it. We think it's our point. That's what Satan did to Adam. Yes, our first father. He sold him on an idea, on an opinion, and had Adam pushing for it until it got Adam in enough trouble that Adam started looking for something to help outside of that. And he saw the word of God that turned him around. Praise be to Allah. So the will of God is working in all things, as the old prophet said. The will of God, and as the Quran says, if you understand, the Quran and Muhammad, they say the same thing. The will of God is working in all things. And the will of God is eventually going to overcome all things. And the will of God is not just a spirit, although he said, and I have given everything something of my spirit. This is what God says in Islam, in the Quran. I have given of my spirit something of my spirit to all. Not to some, to all. Yes. So it's not only the spirit of the force moving in you like an urge. And all of us human beings, we know we've experienced an urge. If you start to do something real, real terrible, you get nervous inside. If it's something that would mean terrible consequences to others or to you, you feel some terrible start to happen in here. That's your own soul, very uncomfortable with what you're thinking about. So you feel something real terrible in here. And I'm sure that you have also experienced an urge to do something good, something right, that you know is right. But to do it also means that you may have faced terrible consequences. And the same discomfort comes, right? Very uncomfortable there, you see? So something inside of us knows what's best for us. Isn't that true? Something inside of us, deep in the soul, knows what's best for us. And it tries to help us when we're in serious situations, very, very serious situations. It tries to help us. Now, many times, we have our thinking already made up, don't we? And our thinking is already made up. We call it our thinking, but I say it's not yours. Our thinking is already made up, so we go against it, trembling, scared, break out in sweat, still go against it. So Allah has in this world, in us and in this world, more than just his will, our spirit. He also has in this world his plan. When he made things, he also made things to bear his plan. To bear his plan. Just like a plant bears the plan of his creator. That plant comes here, the seed, the apple seed, comes here with the plan of the creator of the apple tree. The creator of the apple life. It's in the seed we call the apple seed. And that seed has a plan for a new tree and a new generation of apples. That's the new tree. Is that not true? And you look at the seed, you don't see that. You don't see a tree. You look at that apple seed, you can cut it, split it in half. You don't see a tree. But if you take it and study it with a microscope scientifically, you'll see that seed, that apple seed, has a different fiber pattern than anything else that exists. Just like we have different fingerprints. It has a different fiber plan than than any other seed that exists. It won't look like a peach seed. It won't look like a grape seed. It has its own fiber pattern when you take the microscope and look at it. And you put that seed in the ground, if it gets what it needs from the environment, it's going to come up an apple tree and produce itself all over again. Repeated apples. Apples repeated in existence again, right? Well, if you understand Islam the way you're supposed to understand it, Islam starts with the Creator. With the Creator. And what the Creator created, bearing his will. Bearing his will and his plan. So no matter what we come up with, you know, we have these dreamers dreaming up ideas for how life should be lived, or how the spirit should be understood, or how the political world should be ordered. We have all these dreamers. Men will dream, and women too. We'll keep dreaming. We're not going to stop dreaming. But Allah has a plan, and none of our dreams can overcome his plan. None of our planning can overcome his plan. Allah says, they plan, and God plans, and God is the best of planners. So God intended for man to be a Muslim, meaning one saying, God, I don't want to take this life into my charge and be responsible for it. I want you to tell me how am I to live it. That's the beginning. That's a Muslim. First step to be Muslim. And then after that, we want to live our life so that our life pleases that God. Pleases that God. Everything we do thereafter, we want it to be acceptable in the presence of God. This is the Muslim, the complete Muslim. So God gives in time man guidance for overcoming the influence of Satan in his life and in his environment. Most of the religions, they prepare their followers to fight the influences of Satan in their lives, in their personal lives, in human life, to also help your brother, help your sister, fight Satan. Help your family, help your friends, help your sister, even help a stranger. Fight Satan. To my knowledge, none of them but Islam makes it very clear and plain. None of them except Quran and Muhammad makes it very clear and plain that we are to be responsible for a public life that Satan is kept out of. So these other religions, they can have gambling in the neighborhood. They can have vices in the neighborhood. The law will do its best to keep the trouble down or keep the problem at a minimum. But they can have it. Satan can set up his quarters, his workshop on any corner if he likes, you know. That's okay. It's a democracy. It's open to everything. Not for Muslims. For Muslims, you're not supposed to help Satan. You're not supposed to support him in any of his wrongdoings. You're supposed to fight the schemes of Satan. And the schemes of Satan is to work through the weaknesses of human beings, to find human weaknesses and then work through those weaknesses to get control of their future, their lives, and their future. This is the scheme of Satan. So Muslims are to fight the schemes of Satan. Well, where is that, Brother Imam, in the Quran? If you read it in the month of Ramadan, that's just behind you a few days, you read it already. If you completed the book, you read that. Allah says, and fight the schemes of Satan, for surely his schemes are weak. And why are they so weak? Because those schemes are dependent upon human weaknesses. And if human beings will just use their strength against those schemes, they got the stronger part of themselves against the weaker part of themselves. Is that clear? Yes. See, that's how you understand. Surely his schemes are weak because his schemes depend upon our weaknesses. And all we have to do is come with our strength against our weaknesses. That's why ultimately, who is the fight between? The fight is between my Muslim position and that in me that threatens that Muslim position. My fight is with myself. And if I bring my strength against my weaknesses, I can overcome. I can overcome. Yes. You know, Allah never put heroin within the reach of human beings. No. And heroin is a very strongly addictive drug. But I know persons, even before this particular time that we're in now, my leadership, I know persons who had so much faith in what they heard from Elijah Muhammad that they put down a long, long history of heroin addiction, cold turkey, no help from any professional. Praise be to Allah. I've seen their arms, black track all the way down, and needle marks in other places. Yes, and they gave it up. That shows that the strength is stronger than the weakness. The strength is stronger than the weakness. So we can overcome all of these things. The prophets looked down the road and they saw something coming. They had this kind of perception that we're discussing right now. We are getting this perception from revelation. That's where it comes from, this understanding of how to look at things. Come from the revelation, what God revealed. They looked at with the light that God gave them, they looked at the world and what was developing. And God inspired them to predict the conclusion of these things, how it's going to all end. Okay, so this environment is going to become more and more a problem. What is small now is going to become much bigger in the future. People are going to be multiplying in numbers. There'll be more people. That means living quarters will become more thickly populated. We think that the market has a population problem now. Too many people in the market. Say, oh, wait. For the generations to come, it's going to be compounded. The problem is going to become much greater. That's what they predicted. And they said the community life, but the Bible puts it as city life. The Quran puts it also as city life. But the Quran goes directly to it, crowding. The crowds are going to become bigger and bigger. And isn't this the late terminology that began with urban renewal? Crowding? They start to bring us the problem of what crowding is doing to our life, how crowding is distorting, influencing and distorting the very composition of human life that is making human beings all over again? Crowding. And they did experiments to show what happened to certain animals. If you put them in too small a confine, too many of them together, in too small of confines, if confines are too small for them to have room, that they turn into another creature. They lose their previous sense of behavior. And they become creatures with a new and more destructive behavior. Violent, destructive behavior. This is what science experiments told them. Scientific experiments told them this. They studied it. They studied crowding on animals to see how crowding of human beings look. So they didn't do the right thing. They had the right information. But because of the problem of crowding, they moved upon expedience rather than upon guidance. And they say, oh, we need projects. Stack them up. And they stack people up in these projects, in Chicago, in New York, all over, stacking them up in these projects. And they start behaving just like those animals that they had cooped up, too many in too small a place. Just like those animals start striking out and hating each other, people start doing the same thing, hating each other and ready to kill and beat each other down for nothing. Science didn't tell us this first. God's revelation was the first to tell us this, that the conditions are going to be compounded, and the city is going to become oppressive, and the big cities are going to become the places of great sin, suffering, and death. The cities. And certain old cities in ancient time are pointed to. They see those old cities? See how much trouble there was in those old cities? Like Babylon, like Nineveh, like ancient Egypt. They were, there's going to be more than Egypt. There's going to be more than Babylon. And they are going to be worse than their predecessors. This is scripture. This is a prediction. Revelation comes to tell the world that you are not created to be different people, separate from each other. You're created to be people all alike in your human creation and in unity with each other, working together. That came with the Quran and Muhammad. That's where that came from. So Allah gave the last prophet, the seal of the prophet, the last prophet Muhammad, the guidance for the world, to teach the world how it is to understand itself in its plural body, or in its total numbers of human beings on this earth. That in your plural body, you are one people. You are one people. You are all human beings. And you have one origin and one destination. One origin and one destination. And your origin is what you were in your origin. That's what you were to be in your destination. In your origin, you were a Muslim. In your origin, you were one community. In your origin, you were one people or human community. In your origin, you were giving your life and your future for God. You were serving God. So in your destination, you must be the same. Is that in the Bible? Yes. As it was in the beginning, so shall it be in the end. What God intended will prevail. That's all it's saying. It's saying what God intended shall prevail. We have in the Quran, in the chapter, where God says, "Oh, soul, you soul," speaking to the soul, "pleasing and pleased." Prove this with what is happening now in the economic world. Allah says, in many ways Allah points to this material end, how he decides also the material end for man. Allah says, and the spiritual end also is given. Both of them are given in the Quran and in the life of our prophet. To see how Allah shrinks the land, draws it in from its borders, just causes it to shrink from its borders. It's not as large as it used to be. Now, this is very profound. On a physical level, or in the physical scene, this is actually happening to the continents. Yes, that's what happened to the continent. Yeah, they surrounded by water. They were separated somehow, and they became surrounded by water, and the water just washes up on them and washes away their borders. And in time, these places are going to be small, land going to be spread out. Who knows what's going to be the contour, or the features, the looks of the land billions of years from now. We don't know. Science can speculate or predict based upon certain knowledge that they have. They can predict, it's a wonder that they're not predicting. You know why they're not predicting it? Because if they predict it, they give help to the people that's on these lands. And they don't want to give any help. So rather than predict the future, if they can predict the past, if they can discover the past, they can also predict the future. Because the same thing that worked to show them how that came from there, here, now, to where it is now, tells them what's going to happen from here to another distance of time. But they don't want to tell us what's going to happen there. But they'll tell us, yes, these continents used to be together. That's one theory. That these continents, Asia and Africa and even America, they used to be all together. And something happened beneath the surface to cause volcanoes and land mass changes, etc., and oceans to appear, to come in from around the borders, oceans to come in on the borders, and now you have these oceans here where land used to be. The land has gone down, and land has gone up. The land comes up with volcanic explosions in the ocean, takes place in the ocean, and it throws land up. You see? So really, enough of that happening underwater can throw a mountain up where there was no land. A mountain can be thrown up out of water where there was no land. That can happen. And I believe that's what has happened in many places of the world. That's my speculation. And I can speculate just like they can. And sometimes my speculation might be better than theirs. Yes. Just like they predict the weather. And they say, this happened all the time. You should ask the brothers around me. They'll tell you. I'm well known for this. They say, Brother Imam, it's going to be, what they told me recently. Oh, Brother Imam, they say it's going to be 4 inches of snow. I said, what? It's going to be 4 inches of snow tomorrow. I said, I don't think so. I say, more like maybe one, possibly two. I say, maybe one. The next day, that's exactly what it was. And that's not one time. That happens often. It happens often. I have a strong soul sense. My soul. I have a powerful soul sense. And I can sense things. And I don't have no control over it. You who experience this, you know. You don't have any control over it. But once it's there, you realize it. You're aware of it. You're aware of it. That something is here saying something. Not speaking in a man's voice, speaks in no voice. It just comes readily to your mind. And not in language form. It comes to your mind. And you put it in language form. Yes. So this is experience. Call it psychic or something, you know. I say just a great soul, great sensitive soul. I got a great sensitive soul. I tell the brothers, I say, you see those little insects? You ever watch insects crawling around? I say, especially those with little antennas. I say, and the little antennas be going out in front of them like that. And sometimes they raise them up. And they do that. They sense something from a distance. So they raise them up. They're like the antennas go up here up here in electronic life, electronic field. And you want to pick up distance, you raise the antenna up. So those little animals, they raise those antennas up. And they pick up things from a distance. So I tell the brother, I say, well, my antennas are up. That's what I tell them. I say, well, my antennas are up. I say, I think so and so and so and so. So they won't tell you all this because I got them afraid. I got them. Yeah, really. I got them so spooked up. Some of them afraid to even think bad around me. Now, isn't that a blessing? So they won't share these things with you, though. Very few people they'll share this information with. But they're experiencing that all the time with me, those who are with me. I just get those things. And it didn't just start with me. I was a boy. I hope you don't mind me even sharing this with you. I was a boy when this happened. I was a teenager. I'm walking down the street with my friend. He's still alive. He will verify this. His name is Leroy. Slave name Little. Leroy Little. X something X Little. Been so long, I forgot how many X's he had. But anyway, he's my friend. Very close friend. And he was interested in a certain girl. And something hit me while we were walking down the street. Now, we saw this girl that he was interested in. We saw her on 47th Street, south, near Cottage Grove. But now, we're around 62nd Street walking. Now, that's a long way from 47th Street, isn't it? We're on 62nd Street walking. And something hit me. I said, Leroy, I said, what would you think if I told you we're going to see such and such person? and you saw him. He just looked at me and he said, I don't know. He looked puzzled. We walked about a fourth of a block, and there she was. Now, I have witnesses to this, a living witness to this. Not only that, when I was much younger than that, I guess I was about 12 years old, maybe 12 years old, 13 maybe. My little brother Akbar, he's living too. I ain't gonna tell you no, I'm not going to tell you anything that I don't have a living witness for. He's still living too. He could verify this. Akbar, me and Akbar were just having our normal kind of activity in the house, talking as we were, boys would talk. He was the 5 years, he's five, almost 6 years younger than me. But we were together more than that because the older boys had gone out, mostly gone out of the house, married or gone out. So he hit me. I said, Akbar, I said, I can tell you what's on your mind now. No, it's the truth. It's no joke. So Akbar looked at his eyes, stretched. He said, tell me what's on my mind. And I told him. He said, yeah. He said, yeah, that's what I was thinking about. And he's a living witness. Yes? He's in upstate New York. He's a professor on the campus, Binghamton University. He's a professor up there. Yeah, he's a living witness. And I can go on and tell you, Muhammad Ali's wife, she said, I heard that you could, you're a psychic. You could tell. I said, yes, I am. She said, can you tell me what's on my mind? I said, I don't know. So I had to say, see, it doesn't come when you command it. You can't command it. She said, can you tell me what's on my mind? I said, I don't know. But something hit me. And it hit me. I said, yes. I said, I can tell you. She said, what's on my mind? I said, I don't know what it is. I said, but I'm going to describe it to you. I said, what I see is something looks like a fried egg, sunny side up. No, she said, no. I said, what is it? She said, I'm looking at the sun. I said, at the sun? She said, yes. I was seeing the sun. I said, is it clouded? She said, yeah. I said, well, where's the sun? She said, it's outside of the clouds. I said, that's the egg, sunny side up. she had not given language to what she saw. So I couldn't get language. She didn't give any language. She just saw something. So when I saw what she saw, maybe her mind didn't make a good cloud to see. Maybe it looked more like a sunny side egg in a fried pan, you know. I saw a sunny side egg. That's what I saw. No frying pan, but just an egg, sunny side up. That's what I saw. So you have to, what am I saying all this for? Believe in the self that God created. See, this is the self that God created. God created us to have this human soul that's powerful. It's a powerful human soul. And if you will give it to God, you will start to realize a lot of its resources that you can't realize now. Oh, you. Nafs al-mutma'inna. You soul, oh soul, that wants to be satisfied. Return to your Lord. That's where you get that satisfaction. Return to your Lord. Pleasing and pleased. Pleasing God, firstly. If you please God, you're going to be pleased. Pleasing and pleased. Enter you among my workers. Enter you my paradise. Isn't that beautiful? That's English and it's beautiful. You read it in Arabic, oh, it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. Powerful in expression and beauty. So this economic world now, it's doing exactly what is predicted that it would do. It'll be influenced by the Satan, and the Satan will be riding the human life like a man rides a dumb animal. And you won't be in control of yourself. In other words, there'll be no head of yours on your body. You have a rider on your body. And the rider will be the thinking of the Satan himself. His thinking for you will be riding you. And you won't be able to come out of your ignorance. You won't be able to come out of your servitude, your helplessness. You won't be able to come out of it because you'll be written, you'll be having as your writer, instead of your own mind and your own head, the Satan himself, through the material influences, through the commercial life, the material influences. Yes. So the perception of the economic life of this whole world now is seen as being one economic white life or one economic system. They call it the one world order. And they also call it the world economic system. The world economic system. No more national, no more America, no more this. But the whole world now is under one economic system. And the players, speaking of political blocks or political units, the players are the nations. America is one of the players. China, a player. Japan, a player. Germany, all these players. And they're looking now at one game, one field, and one game. One field, the global economic conditions, and one game, who's going to win? Who's going to out-compete the other? That's what they're doing. And because of that, national and global politics are affected. So if you can no more have a political agenda for your own nation, your political agenda must also be a piece on the table, on the playing board. That's all it can be. Your political agenda must be a piece on the playing board with the nations of the world. So they wonder, how come President Clinton has all this popularity in spite of the attacks upon his character, upon his moral life? He still came out powerful, more powerful than before, in the polls. And even the predictors, you know, the professionals, they wonder, how has this happened? And then what happened is it makes them come to a different mind. It makes them come from a biased mind to a rational mind. And then they look at it again, and then they start to explain. Well, it's because he really spoke to the people. And before, he was charged with not speaking to the reality of the people. That was the first response. He didn't address the reality of the people. But after they were shocked to come out of their prejudices and out of their biased positions that could be rational, then they looked at it again, and they said, well, his State of the Union address was very effective and very popular. It reached the people. It was what the people wanted to hear. Yes. So what they want to hear, they want to hear that the president is going to give big business whatever it wants and going to give Israel whatever it wants. That's what they want to hear. They're going to give big business in Israel, whatever they ask for. But the president wants to help human conditions. President saying, well, Social Security, we have to do something about it. We have to protect Social Security. And the president saying, well, we have to make education top priority. Better and improved education, top priority. This is what the people want to hear. Yes. So this is the one world order. So along with these trends that were predicted by the prophets as they were guided by God for the material life and the spiritual life, also comes prediction for the moral life, the moral life. As man began to come to grips with the challenge of Satan in the material world or through the commercial life, he's going to then be in a better situation to see the damage that's been done to his moral life. So these things start to be corrected at the same time. As you correct your moral and economic perception, as you correct your material and economic perception, It's going to help you correct your political perception. And as you correct your political perception, it's going to help you improve your moral perception. They all work together. And the world shall become new all at once. This is prophecy. There shall be a new earth and a new heaven. Huh? And God shall gather those on the earth and those in the heavens. You hear that? That's the Quran. This ain't just going to gather the ones from the earth. They're going to gather those in the heavens. This is judgment day. Who has gone up to heaven and got past? And didn't belong there. And they're going to have to be gathered again for judgment. It's not talking about that heaven. It's talking about the heaven of man's political order. Man has created his own world. He has created his own political order. And in his political order, there are those that are in the earth, dead, deaf, dumb, and blind. And there are those that are in the heavens of man's particular political order, the seers, the wide awake. But they don't belong in heaven. They belong in hell. Some of them up there belong in hell. So they're going to be gathered on the day of judgment, just as those on the earth shall be gathered on the day of judgment. So God is going to bring them down from their heavens and put them in the hell where they belong. Yes? And those that are on the earth, deaf, dumb, and blind, that didn't listen to their moral nature and their human nature, their original Muslim that they have inside their soul, they wouldn't listen to it. So God's going to gather them also for the hell fire. And that's going to happen in the end of time when God roll up this creation like a scroll. This is Quran. Roll the creation up like a scroll. The stars and the sun and all of that will be rolled up like a scroll. And he will cast it. He'll have it. And he will cast it away. And then he will bring in a new creation. That's God's word, the Quran. And he will bring in a new creation. That all is perishable. And all is vanishing. Except the presence of God. Illa wajillah. Except the presence of God. Then he will cause it all to go away as if it never existed. And then he will bring it all back into existence, a new creation. And when they see it, they say, oh, this resembles what I saw before. Isn't that a wonderful God? Wouldn't you like to see that sweetheart that passed? That died? Yes? Died loving you and you loving her? Wouldn't you like to see again? Now, if you got in heaven and you saw something that didn't look nothing like her, have nothing that she had, you'll be disappointed. That'll be a most disappointing awakening in heaven. But if you wake up and say, oh, that looked just like that girl, and you speak to her and she says, yes, this is me. Wouldn't that be wonderful? See, the God, the merciful God who created us, he's not a God that disappoints us. No. He's not a God that disappoints us. Satan disappoints us. Now, Satan is the one that will promise you a girl. And you wake up and you see her, she's looking just like that girl. There she is. And you go there and go to touch her, and she turned into Michael Jackson's monster. Now, that's how Satan. Satan loves to disappoint you. Take care, brothers. Take care. Let us take life into our own hands for Allah's pleasure. And let us accept responsibility for the public life for Allah's pleasure. Do it for Allah's pleasure, that Allah created you for this great responsibility. And it's a great dignity that you enjoy, a great sense of self-fulfillment that you'll enjoy if you accept the plan of God. So let us have the Muslim community established on this geography we call the United States of America. And let us have the halal in that boundary and the haram outside of that boundary. Peace. And may Allah guide us always and show us mercy. Accept our repentance. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum.
For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, call or write WDM Publications. Call 1-708-862-7733 or write Post Office Box 1944, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.
And thank you, dear listeners, for being here with me. Oh, praise be to Almighty God. Did that not answer the questions that we had earlier this evening? The last comment that he was making, take control of your life. Create it. Don't be the victim.
and being at the table of humanity, be in a position that says we're standing up like men, and I'm referring to thinkers that are giving their life over to Almighty God, taking a stand, looking at what the earth has to offer, the earth, the space, all that it has to offer, contribute to it, what it has, and its makeup for all of humanity. That's not just a quest. That's the work that we are putting ourselves up against to connect the dots that are already operating as such, taking life, this life into their own hands, creating communities, even if it's a mosque on some land, even if it's home on some land, even if it's a storefront on some land. The idea is lay it all out, plan it all out, and continue to work and believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will see us through, whoever the us is. So praise be to Allah for Imam Warthi Muhammad, Rahimahullah Hulay. If you have any comments you'd like to share before we make off, it's 9:53, before we are shut off, please raise your hand, and I will open your mic. Let's see here. Okay. Then look forward to joining us tomorrow. We'll be together tomorrow morning, God willing, right? And may we go out this evening, go into the sunset or the night set with Ayatul Kursi, knowing that Allah doesn't age, Allah doesn't sleep, not as though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to go away from us. So as we put our trust in Allah and we go into the sleep, and then we are blessed to rise again tomorrow in this flesh and bones. Oh, praise be to Allah. I won't go back into the whole, oh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us tonight. Assalamu alaikum. We're going to say, it's got to be thankful, grateful and thankful, all of it together, right? It's got to be thankful. And this is with our dear brother, Abdulrahman Hassan. Oh, tonight it came right up. What a blessing. Assalamu alaikum.
Early in the morning, sailing and praying, Devon's fresh brewed coffee as I stumble down the stairs. Tiptoe by the bedroom where my children used to sleep. 25 years later, I still pray my Lord their souls to keep. Grab my keys, grab my hat, and I head on out the door. Crank up my old pickup truck, get off the work I go. But I gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
the best that I can. Try and make a difference, cause that's just who I am. I've gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and let a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be
grateful for my life and all the things he's given me that make my life my life. For the warm rays of sunshine, stars that light the night, friends that last forever, and my children and my wife. Now there's a little boy, he lives down the street, who wants to grow to be a man. But life is rough and the streets are tough, and he tries to understand. He said, "Miss, can you help me? Can you lend a helping hand? Tell me why the life's so rough. Can you help me understand?" Well, I think about the day
days gone by and the things my daddy said, and the wisdom that he shared with me still lingers in my head. He said, you gotta be all right.
Gotta be all right.
You gotta do the best that you can. Try and make a difference in any way you can. You gotta be strong.
Gotta be strong.
And lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful.
Gotta be thankful.
You gotta be grateful for your life and all the things he's given you that makes your life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and your children and your wife. Go back to colors, and I sing the day's last prayer, asking for his blessing for people everywhere, and our sons and daughters who fight in foreign lands, trying to make a difference for their family. But they gotta be alright. They gotta do the best that they can. Try to make a difference any way they can. They've got to be strong.
Gotta be strong.
And lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But they gotta be thankful. They gotta be grateful for their lives and all the things he's given them that make their life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and their children and their wives. Yeah, they gotta be thankful. Yeah, they got me.